Welcome to the 150th episode of the Jamie Delaney Plant-Based Wellness Podcast. My name is Jamie Delaney, and I'm your host. I'm a plant-based cardiologist and endurance athlete living in Southwest Florida. Welcome. And today we have Florida weather. I just finished a 13-mile run, and it hit 80 degrees. Oh, it felt good. And just to kind of bring you up to date, because we haven't really been talking much about my training and everything, but I'm getting ready to do the Asheville Half and Whole Marathon. That's a two-day event in mid-March. I think it's March the 12th, 13th. Then we'll come back for our third annual Charlotte County Plant-Based Nutrition Conference. And then in a few short weeks in April, we'll be headed out to Mendocino, California to do the 50K Ultra. So running is starting to crank it up, starting to do some long days, sandwich long days on the weekend. So did 13 today. I'm starting to bump up tomorrow, so do maybe 8 tomorrow, and then just kind of build those two up. At least that's the plan for now. Still trying to figure out what shoes I want to wear. Have some flatter shoes and some shoes with a little bit of a drop, so I kind of back and forth a little bit. Adding a lot more stretching because of the extra miles. Started back swimming here in Florida. We had a couple cold mornings. I know you people up north are going to feel sorry for me, but I didn't go swimming when it was 40 degrees here. So we're back up in the 60s in the morning, so I showed back up to master swim class 2 days this week. You know, it's always painful. I've been running and I've been doing some weights, but I haven't been swimming. And so I kind of got it handed to me a little bit. My shoulders were feeling pretty heavy at the end of those 2 days. But I went Wednesday and then I went Friday. And Friday was a lot better than Wednesday. So I'm looking forward to doing that. You know, you switch off activities and you have this, you know, I need to get my mileage up for running. But on the back of my mind, I don't want to give my swimming fitness up either. So you certainly hope by adding them both in that you get a little benefit that crosses over. And certainly, you know, I noticed that my swimming overall, my legs are strong from running. So it certainly crossed over that way. And I'm hoping the time off from running while I swim helps me to recover a little bit, gets me stretched out in different ways. So that's the plan so far. Exciting news, though, is that this was the first full week in our office nutrition class. You know, we've been building it out, and so we have an island with a cooktop and a real oven and a real refrigerator and a real kitchen sink so that we can actually make different things. And the room seats about 25 people nicely. It's nice and open. It's nice and bright. And so Monday I made teff pancakes, and I make those with a combination of teff flour and cornmeal, and made a sauce. One of the sauces was taken from Tim Marie Hagenberger's Foodie Bar Way cookbook that I used a sauce with cacao powder and bananas and some almond milk. And then I did another sauce with raspberries, almond milk, and a banana. So those were great sauces. You know, people think you have to put a bunch of syrup on your pancakes, but not so. So you can actually get antioxidants in your pancakes. Teff is a very is a whole grain, so you're getting some fiber and nutrients there. So it's not just a, you know, IHOP pancake breakfast with no nutrients and a lot of harm in it. Obviously there was no eggs. So that was a great meal. Everybody liked it. And then on Thursday we did a kale salad with sweet potatoes and quinoa and sunflower seeds, avocado and lemon juice, and so that was well received. And then on Friday we did beet burgers with quinoa, pinto beans, and beets. You know, it's funny, we were doing the nutrition class off-site about a quarter mile from my office, and I haul things up in coolers, and you know, I had that little kitchen there, but it was kind of behind me, and I forgot rice several times on recipes. Well, when you know it, on Thursday I forgot the quinoa. I left it in the refrigerator at the office. So luckily one of the students said, hey, I thought this recipe had quinoa in it. So she saved the day. So you know, now everybody knows that they have to remind me that, you know, get all the ingredients out and make sure you add all the ingredients that you've prepped. So it just goes to show you that we all make mistakes, and you know, it would have worked out before the time I forgot the rice and the sushi salad. It wasn't the end of ends. You just kind of make what do sometimes. And like I said, it all works out. we're also now able to record the audio and do some video from the nutrition classes. And I've been posting those on the website, drdelaney.com, under the private members page. So it's a feature that the members of the practice get, even if they are not in the class or they miss a class or if they live out of town, because we have a lot of members that are scattered all over the United States at this point. Hopefully, if anybody out there listening overseas and you want to become a member, you can do it. We'll figure out a way to Skype with you and help you out as well. But so the members can look at the audio and video. Look at the video and listen to the audio, so they can feel part of the class. And then they can, the recipes are posted that we do in class on that private site, and they can email in and we can go back and forth and talk about that. Addie Delaney Minerich, my registered nutritionist, registered dietitian and nutritionist, I should say, puts all the nutrient values on the recipe sheet, so people can learn when they're eating these, you know, nutrient-dense food, just what they're getting. So it's good feedback, and you can see where there was salt and where it came from. And we also talk about in class, you know, how you can eliminate a lot of salt from recipes, especially Thai dishes. You know, there's, if you go to the grocery store and the Asian aisle, they have all these different sauces in jars. But if you add those sauces, two or three of those, to your dish, you can really get over, you know, a gram and a half of salt just in one meal. So we talk about things like, you know, use a real pepper instead of, you know, the chili peppers in a jar, and a lot of other little tips in class that, you know, help you to, you know, decrease the sodium content in your food, decrease the fat content in your food, increase the nutrient density. So it all works good. And really, really happy to be in class. It gives me more time. I don't have to be transporting back and forth. And we're stocking the kitchen. And it's just great fun. It's great to see people's success. People enjoy coming, you know, and seeing each other each week. And we learn, you know, how they're doing. People are actually doing very well at making new things and branching out, and so it's a lot of fun. A lot of people are coming off of medications, which is really what it's all about. You know, the transition is not as easy as, you know, the internet and different groups would have you believe. You know, as many of you have tried to become plant-based and slipped, it's not hard to get derailed. You know, when you look at it, 96% of the world eat differently, and there are fast food restaurants on every corner. And you know, there's just, I don't know that there's anything that, any other way of changing that perhaps there's so many obstacles that can get in your way. You know, and oftentimes it's you don't even see it coming. Whether it's, you know, travel or vacation, and just, you know, the food, even on a vegan cruise, there's oil in the food. You know, you eat a little bit more dessert than you would normally eat, a little bit more processed food than you normally would eat. The next thing you know, you come back from the cruise and, you know, you slip a little bit. You start adding some of those things that you found tasty into your everyday diet. And the next thing you know, your labs are changing. Sometimes people get visitors in and there's a picky child, or you're trying to really, you know, make things special for them, and they eat differently. And, you know, you have all this stuff left in your house and it ends up, you know, sneak a little bit here, sneak a little bit there, and you get derailed. Sometimes it's a business trip, and you know, to the best laid plans, you know, you're trying very hard, but you know, boredom gets in the way, or again, you know, you just start looking and shopping, and different things start to pop up. Sometimes you feel sorry for yourself. Sometimes you're just really happy and celebrating when you're traveling, and you know, you get into something, but without being mindful of it, it kind of starts to, again, slip into your everyday when you get back. And then pretty soon you're derailed, and then your morale can slip. And, you know, one thing after another, the weight comes back on, the cholesterol starts to go back up, the glucose starts to go back up, and you're in trouble. And, you know, watching this from a physician perspective, You know, it's very scary, and it actually can be very disappointing. And you know, patients that are doing really good, and then all of a sudden they just get derailed and they start to slip. So this nutrition class is, you know, really helpful for people because, you know, one lady in the class, she's taken five of them, I believe, and she said, you know, she feels like it's AA for plant-based nutrition because she looks forward to coming. She sees her friends, and it keeps her accountable. And she learns different recipes, and it keeps her excited. And we talk about the science of plant-based nutrition and things that happen during the week that possibly could derail you. So, you know, I just, you know, if you're out there and you've taken an online cooking class and, you know, you're still struggling, you're not alone by any imagination. You need help. You know, a lot of people need help and they need accountability and they need someone to answer their questions. And so that's the service that we provide. And, you know, it's been very helpful. And I think, you know, it really does take a good year to really get the education and knowledge and the comfort with all of this to navigate the obstacles that are oftentimes thrown in front of you. And again, to be mindful of why you're doing what you're doing and what's out there to possibly derail you, because little things just like, you know, starting to have peanut butter toast or, you know, instead of oatmeal can, you know, start to really creep up into a diet, especially a diabetic, and cause problems. Even at 6 months, when the numbers, you know, have started to look good, the cholesterol's down, the glucose are down, the hemoglobin A1Cs are down, doesn't mean that everything is back to normal physiologically in your body. You know, that vasculature is not all the way healed. The fat cells that you got when you were 20 and that were stretched out, they're still there. And, you know, your system wants to kind of bounce back to the way it was a little bit, not to mention between your ears and then not to mention, you know, your microbes. And so it's not like you can let your guard down 6 months or a year and say, you know, I'm good to go and I got this and my body's healthy and now I can throw at it the bad things again and it'll be okay. Not so. This is a way of eating and a way of life. When I finished my run today, well, you know, for starters, on my run this morning, I get up and, you know, I had a date while I got ready to go and some tea. Actually, I've been enjoying a matcha tea with a ginger tea kind of combination. And then I took the dogs for 3.5 miles and brought them back. And while I was feeding them, I microwaved a sweet potato. And I took a sweet potato and I ate some fruit while I was feeding them. And then I took the sweet potato in my little pouch with me for the next part of my run, and I ate that. And then when I came home, you know, you hear all these things about TV, how you need to recover. But I actually had a big bowl of fruit. And you know, it was watermelon and pineapple and grapes and an orange and a banana. And I had some walnuts and flaxseed on that. And, you know, it was really delicious, really filling, good for hydration, and, you know, very, very satisfying. So I got nutrients and antioxidants and I feel great right now. You know, I'll keep pushing some water, you know, cause I'm still a little bit thirsty. But you know, those are the kind of things that I'm very happy. It's not, I don't wish that, you know, that I could have something different. You know, it's like, oh, I wish I could have a, you know, piece of cake or you know, a hot dog because I ran 13 miles. I don't want that. I want something that's going to actually fuel my body, help me repair the damage that I did for, you know, running 13 miles. And so I'm ready to go again. And that's my attitude, but it's not people's attitude right up front. It's why, you know, it's more about when can I have those things I liked before in that other life again. And that other life has to kind of go away. And the focus now is, you know, how can I make things that taste really good, that are very nutrient dense, and that, you know, love me back. And it comes, it just takes a while. So, you know, hang in there. Because again, there's lots of things that can derail you. We met with the chef that will be catering our third annual Charlotte County plant-based nutrition conference at Twin Isles this week. And he's actually the third chef that we have worked with. You know, chefs come and chefs go at different locations and at different country clubs. And we wanted to sit down and meet with him because we have a whole food plant-based breakfast and lunch plan with no salt, sugar, or oil. And, you know, wanted to see and make sure that he was on board with all this. We have all the recipes and, you know, everything laid out. You know, we want to allow him some creative input, obviously, but we want him to make it nutrient dense and sugar, oil, and salt free. So we sat down and he's like, oh yeah, I was a private chef for a vegetarian. It's like, well, yeah, that's good. And so we presented the menu and everything was going well. And one of the ladies there said, well, I'm going to be eating dinner here tonight. Is there any way I can, get a plant-based meal? And he said, oh yeah, I'm going to make you a polenta with some vegetables tonight. And I'm going to put cheese on top. And it's like, wait a minute. You know, it's like, no cheese. Well, I'll just put it on the side. No, not on the side. You know, so it takes a lot of education. So we went to the salad bar and looked at the dining place area, and they had a salad bar. And it's like, okay, so now this is great, but we're going to take out these three containers of cheese. We're going to take out these dressings, and these will be the dressings we put in. And instead of these three different containers of cheese, let's add some more chopped vegetables. So we have a variety, because it's funny, these salad bars are, when you look at them, even though they're arranged pretty, if you really look at them, they're 50% sugar, oil, and fat. And, whether it's, again, the three, the multiple cheese, the croutons, the three or four very oily dressings. So you have to be really careful when you go to a salad bar that, it's not just, no worries to it. You have to look and beware. So, we went over that with them, and so we're going to be eating there a couple times and, work on to make sure that nobody's sneaking in, salt, oil, or sugar. And we know the people that work in the kitchen, they were there last year, so they kind of, have it down. So we just have to support. We want him to be creative, but we don't want him to be creative with the wrong ingredients. So, you just don't know, and I know a lot of times chefs will tell people, yeah, I didn't put any oil in it, but yet they did. So, when you go out, you really are taking some risk with your nutrition because you aren't in control. So the other thing that happened this week, or a couple different things, I got an email yesterday morning, and our local newspaper had a big headline, compound found in asparagus linked to the spread of cancer. And it's like, oh man, how many phone calls is that going to generate, and why? So I went to the article very quickly and started to read it, and it was actually published. It was referencing an article published in Nature magazine, but it was interpreted by, the editorial staff this was in our local paper, but it was by a editorial staff or a writer from the New York Daily News. There were also articles in The Guardian and USA Today that caught this as well. And, again, it starts out with asparagine, an amino acid found in asparagus and many other foods, but was shown to aid in the spread of cancer and other organs of the body in mice. So, again, the first thing that comes to mind is, oh my gosh, I can't eat asparagus anymore. The amino acid asparagine was named asparagine after asparagus because that was the vegetable that they first isolated this particular amino acid many years ago. Asparagine is not an essential amino acid, meaning our bodies make it as well. It is found widely throughout foods in beef, poultry, dairy, whey protein, eggs, fish, seafood, potatoes, nuts, legumes, soy, and whole grains. That pretty much catches it. But only asparagus got nailed for being, you know, the bad actor here. And the reality of it is, when you look at the article, it looked at the enzyme asparagine synthase expression in tumors associated with a relapse of tumors or a metastasis. So the tumor grew someplace else other than the primary site. This depends on a whole lot of hosts, as it depends on different enzymes present in the body, in an individual's body. It doesn't take into consideration any genetics that were activated. It doesn't take into, you know, any other chemical reactions. It just is this very little isolated breakdown of asparagine, mainly because there is an L-asparaginase is used in the treatment of cancer, but you know, it doesn't really have anything to do with it. And the reality of it is, you know, we can take asparagine and expose it to reducing sugars and turn it into acrylamide, which is found in French fries and potato chips and toasted bread. And that's not good for us either. So it depends on the company it keeps, the enzymatic reactions that are available, and in context, because we know that asparagus in and of itself has a lot of nutrients and a lot of benefits. And certainly there's never been a study giving women with breast cancer or women that ate asparagus every day of their life noting to have increased breast cancer. So, you know, this is all media that twists something and grabs onto it. You know, nobody got the beef industry for there's asparagine in beef. Why don't we just eliminate all these, you know, the beef, poultry, eggs, fish, and seafood, you know, if we want to get rid of asparagine. But we're not going to get rid of asparagine because we can make it. So, you know, to get all bent out of shape over these things, It's really disappointing that, you know, that things are, and I feel sorry, really sorry for the asparagus farmers, because, you know, it takes 4 to 5 years to grow asparagus. It's a very laborious crop that has to be tended to. So, you know, these guys are really getting picked on. So don't, you know, everything you read, don't go down that line. You know, everybody picks it up and it becomes a game of telephone. You know, when one person tells another, oh, did you hear about that? You know, I'll stay away from asparagus. And the next thing you know, I think it was broccoli. And the next thing you know, it'll think it was this, you know. And so before you know it, you can't eat anything green. So don't worry about that. The other thing that came up was a lecture by a physician locally talking about you don't have to worry about sodium intake. It's all about potassium, and if you have enough potassium, you don't have to worry about salt, and you can actually eat a pretty liberal salt diet. Now, we all know that that's just not true, and, you know, the short answer is, let's look at canned beans. Beans have very high potassium in them. Anyone that's on a renal diet knows that you have to leach the potassium out of beans and watch your intake. If you have bad kidneys or on a dialysis and happen to be one of those people that retain potassium. So it's a high potassium food to start with. But if you look at a regular can of beans on the shelf, the sodium content per serving can be somewhere around 500 to 600 milligrams per serving. If you then look at the same manufacturer and you look at their low sodium version, it can be around 300 to 400 milligrams of salt. And then if you look at organic beans, typically those sodium content of those are down to 100 to 200 milligrams of sodium. And then if you look at a particular brand called Eden, which they're made with kombu, which is a sea vegetable, they're all the way down to 30 milligrams of sodium. So if you looked at we have a wide content of sodium, but a stable content of potassium. So wouldn't it be interesting? And it's actually been done in my patients, not in a randomized controlled study, but when my patients who have high blood pressure or have a history of heart failure eat those full sodium beans and they don't rinse it, their weight goes up, their blood pressure goes up, and they can retain fluid. When they don't, and when they eat the low sodium beans and they rinse them, the beans, it doesn't affect them. So it wasn't because of the potassium, but it was because of the sodium. We also note that if you're in shock because of an overwhelming infection and you come into the hospital and we give you salt water or saline, your blood pressure will come up because you'll retain the fluid more. We know very much when we have a patient in heart failure and they come into the hospital and we put them on a low sodium diet, same way with high blood pressure, their blood pressure comes down. We also know very well that people that are fruitarians that don't add salt and eat fruits and vegetables, mainly fruits, they don't die of low sodium. So we were made to get about 750 milligrams of salt a day. We weren't exposed to sodium until we started to ferment things. We started to store as a preservative. And then it became a taste enhancer, a flavor enhancer. Salt makes things sweeter. Salt covers up, you know, the bad taste of something else. People can get something down because they're focusing on something salty. So to say that we don't have to watch salt because of our health is, you know, really, this is all industry sponsored again. So you take one little article and you twist it around and you grab onto it and tell people they can eat sodium as long as they eat potassium, and then they're happy. And then one thing leads to another, and, you know, their blood pressure's up and they're not making any progress. This makes people very dependent on their physician to have to come back and be treated, right, with medications. It makes people very dependent on the hospitals to have to go into the hospital because of heart failure. It is very good for the food industry, where we can put more and more salt and cheaper food, and it's covered up with sodium. So, you know, beware that everything you see, read, and hear, despite coming from people with what might seem very good credentials, is not true. And always look under, you know, look under the rug to see where these things came from. Are they sponsored by industry? Does this person work for industry? So, you know, it was very disheartening to see this. And I hate when I have to play defense, but I'm more than happy to play defense when these things come up, because it's just not right. It was my late dad's birthday this week. And one of the things that he always said was, do the right thing. And I try to live that way. And I think that, this is largely about what this podcast is about, to help you sort out some of the crazy things that are out there that people say just to get attention. Just because somebody looks really good doesn't mean, they're the person that you should be paying attention to. So don't be afraid to check out what's going on behind the scenes. So what else is new? Well, I'm actually doing a little piece. So if you want to see a video of me other than just hear audio, I Feel Good magazine is going to be publishing a little monthly magazine. And I have a little video in the back talking about heart health and heart month. So I hope you check that out. I like the magazine because the recipes are healthy. They don't add oil and salt, and show people how to do it. It makes it nice and simple, and it's very good photography. So it's a good magazine to check out. Backyard garden is starting to come along. We had a near freeze. Lost some things. Lost a few mango trees. I'm hoping they come back in. They're in my mango intensive care unit. But I have some other mangoes blooming, and I'm very excited. There's one mango tree that looks like it's going to have a lot of mangoes on it. So I'm real excited for that. It's been very difficult getting our fruit trees growing and producing fruit. I'm a little disappointed. My black sapota, which was my most beautiful tree, lost nearly all its leaves with the cold snap. So I'm hoping that comes back, but I don't think we'll have any fruit this year from it. So I'm just happy if it comes back. My papaya trees turned into just sticks because they lost all their leaves, but they're starting to come back. And those things grow pretty fast. So I'm excited that we'll still have some papayas here in the summertime. Tomatoes are growing like wildfire, both in my raised beds and in my tower garden. And I love my tower garden. If you haven't done that, or you live in a place where you don't have much of a yard, you know, you might want to check that out. I got tomatoes all over the place blooming in this garden, and lettuce and kale. So it's really exciting. My cucumbers got frosted, but we've started some more. So Things turn out really good. It's really low maintenance. If you have an area that has some sun, especially, well, I guess if you're up north this time of year, you might not have some sun, but you can do a light with it. And there's ways to wheel it in and out of your garage if you have like a sunny spot during the day. So, you know, you might check something like that out. We keep compost, so of our vegetable trimmings and things, and put it in a compost barrel. And we unloaded that onto our raised beds, and I have mystery plants coming up. So I think I have mystery tomatoes. It looks like little tomatoes coming up, little vines of sort, cucumbers perhaps, zucchini perhaps. So only time will tell, but it's exciting. Sweet potatoes are coming back up. I completely took the bed out, but there's always a sweet potato left, and it's popped. The little vines are popping up again, so we're going to get some more sweet potatoes. And I posted a picture of running with these are Asian sweet potatoes. So they're purple on the outside or red on the outside, and then more yellow on the inside. They're sweet and they're dense, very high in fiber. But they're really, really good. Good in my kale salad. So those are coming up. Cauliflower coming up. Harvested some carrots this week, so it's a good time to be a gardener in Florida. I'm starting to see some results. So that's very exciting. We're having an open house at the office February 22nd on Thursday from 4 to 7 o'clock if you're local. You can come and see our new kitchen and sample some foods. We'll have an Instapot soup going, probably a big salad of sorts, and some fruit. So you can come in if you're local and check things out and talk to us. And, you know, we want to show off our new kitchen. The practice is being very well received. Again, we have, become a membership practice where I can do primary care or your cardiology, and then everyone gets all the nutrition education included in their membership fee, so they can go to as many nutrition classes as they want. There's discounts for yoga and Pilates, unlimited emails to me or a registered dietitian. We follow people's glucose and back them off on their insulin and medications very, very quickly and are there to support them. So it's very, very effective because we're maintain such close connections with our members. But you don't have to live locally. You can be anywhere because we do online consultations, both Addie and I, so we can talk with you to the same degree for a full membership, or you can do a little bit more limited online level 2 membership where I speak with you once a month, Addie speaks with you once a month, and then you have access to all of our membership-only materials online, the recipes, the audio and video of the nutrition class, as well as private newsletters, as well as a general newsletter, and again, unlimited emails. And then there's an introductory level 1 option where you have access to all the online content, and Addie will speak with you once a month and do your nutrition consult. And if you're just kind of dipping your toe in the water and you'd like to speak with a plant-based registered dietitian, go try to find one of those. Addie is very willing to speak with you, so we can do an introductory online call with her, and or she can set up a package for you for a couple different consults to kind of get you going and see where you'd like to do and like to be. And if you'd like to join us further after that, you're welcome. But if you'd just like a few consults with Addie, we can arrange a package for you. So give us a call because we're all about the science, all about answering your toughest questions, and all about being there for you. And we want you to be successful, because the idea is for more than 4 to 6% of this world to be plant-based. We want to be the strong suit, and let those other people eating that crappy diet be the few in the future. So we'd love to help you achieve your optimal health and wellness, look forward to speaking with you. So if you have any questions, feel free to email me at jamie@drdelaney.com. It's jami@drdelaney.com. The website is drdulaney.com. Love to hear from you. Love to see you if in the area. I'll be speaking locally in 2 weeks at the Life Care Center, but I also will be speaking at the Sarasota Veg Fest. I even have a time slot at 1 o'clock, so that is May 5th. I'll be in West Virginia for my few listeners up there at the American at the West Virginia Dietetics Conference, speaking there. So hope to run into you. Maybe I'll run into you at the Asheville Marathon or Asheville Half Marathon or even at Mendocino. So give me a shout out. We have T-shirts that have the podcast logo on them. So when I run, I'll be sporting one of those, either the Jamie Delaney Beats, My Heart Beats on Plants, or again, the logo with the running shoes and the blood vessels. I think that's a cool T-shirt. So those are available on our website. Check them out. And again, if you have any questions, love to hear from you. So go move your body and get some vitamin D and eat nutrient dense and achieve those optimal health and wellness goals. Thank you for listening.